Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, hello, everyone. Jeremy here from Turn Me On Podcast. And once again, I am all by my lonesome. My beau, my wife, my partner in crime, she is still on her epic journey down in through Mexico. But actually, I spoke with Bridie a couple of days ago. She's doing very well, and her and Todd are actually, they're making their way back up to Canada. A little bit earlier than they had planned, but not going to lie, I'm kind of happy. I'm really, been really missing her, and so I'm glad to know she's on her way back. And also, I'm glad for you all, because then we'll be back to our kind of normal every week episode, where we get to sit down and shoot the shit beforehand. I also, this week, I want to just say a huge, huge thank you to everyone who sent, your own version of love and support after last week's episode. I know that I had mentioned Bigby wasn't doing great. Bigby, our big muffin of a hippo dog. And he's doing good. Bigby's doing good. All of those messages that came in, I relayed to him, gave him extra pets, extra kisses, extra treats. And he's on a new medication that he's doing really well with. So he's a happy boy. So thank you all so much for the support that you sent out. Let's get right into it. This week, I'm really excited to introduce to you, if you haven't already heard of them. This week, we sit down, Bridie and I, with a couple of new friends from our trip in LA, Courtney and Sophia. They are the co-hosts of a podcast called Private Parts Unknown. And it's a really awesome show. I really highly, highly suggest you go download it like right now and go listen. The concept of their podcast is basically it's their two best friends, and they travel around the world and explore different cultures through the lens of sexuality and relationships. And I think what they're doing is incredible. They're so lovely. They're very easy to fall in love with. I believe currently, right now, they're in Tokyo, or maybe they've just gotten back from Tokyo. So there's going to be an episode coming up soon about that trip there. But the original intention of us sitting down with Courtney and Sophia was to kind of do they do an episode on us and then we do an episode on them. But it really kind of just turned into this one big mashup of us in just like a really chill hang. And a lot of this conversation that you're about to hear is them sort of trying to navigate their way through how Bridie and I make our relationship work. So essentially, this is like a journey into the relationship of Bridie and I. And I know that we don't typically talk about our relationship a whole lot on the show, but we get deep into it with the girls on this one. So I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. Again, Private Parts Unknown. Private Parts Unknown. Go check them out. They really are fucking awesome. One other thing. We've split this episode up into two parts. So you're probably gonna notice that at the end of this episode, it ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, and I did that on purpose. So I hope you enjoy it. We love each and every one of you. And now that Bridie is stateside again, we might be back next week with a shorter foreplay segment where we can record if she gets some internet. So anyway, love you all. Thank you all so much for your support, even while Bridie and I are apart. And I hope you enjoy this week's episode. See you on the other side. Well, as I was saying, Bridie's driving. She's driving from Halifax across Canada, then from Vancouver, came down here, and then when I leave, I flew in a couple days ago. When I leave, her and her partner are going to drive from here to Mexico, live there for a bit, and then come back home.
We're in Mexico.
Baja.
Nice.
Yeah. We were there 2 years ago, and Todd's been going for like 6 or 7 years every winter, just surfing. And it's a really, his spot is like a classic surfer spot, very remote, and nobody knows about it. And there's no power, or it's nowhere near any like town or city or electricity or running water for like,
that sounds awesome,
a couple of hours. It's going to be really fun.
What do you do for a shower there? Are you guys just using wipes?
Dip in the ocean.
Go to the
bitch.
Sea. Come on.
The ocean.
Man, the ocean is dirty as fuck.
Hey,
you're going to hate
you
this.
You either get cleansed by the sea or nothing.
You don't need to leave with all your limbs. That's not.
Also, cannot believe you don't trust the sea. That's pretty upsetting.
You know what?
You got it. It's a filter.
Sharks and staph infection. That's what the sea is. You're just asking for it.
You'll hate that I wash my dishes in the ocean when I'm there, too.
Oh, God. That is extreme.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It's a lot of salt. I'm sure it's fine.
It's fine. I agree. I was like, I don't
how was that
do
for your
again.
BV?
my BV was good. My BV went away 3 months later. I think the two things are connected.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, maybe there is a magic to the ocean.
Yeah.
Nice to get out of Canada in the winter, though.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, is your partner the person sitting outside?
Yeah,
there?
Todd.
No, that's a that homeless guy just got here right? yesterday. And we just
I
said
left
you
the
can stay.
Alley door open all afternoon.
We got partners
home.
Just coming in off
I'm
the
just
street.
Saying, because he, like, everybody vaguely pointed that way, but also no one introduced him. So I was like, okay, I guess he doesn't deserve a full intro. He's just a partner. That's fine. I'll put two and two together on my own.
That's so funny.
Oh, man. I never know whether to include him because for the most part, we just were like, you know, we try to keep his personal life and privacy, you know, like away from the podcast. And then, so yeah, now you're pointing out how awkward that is. But
no,
this is my favorite.
I'm on your podcast, listening to your podcast. Todd is definitely a character. Becca is definitely a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's really funny is we do try to leave Todd out of it as much as possible. Becca is like, Beckett like will come home and be like, you didn't talk about me on this show today. Like, it's like a, it's like a, she needs to be. So Becca, there you go. You can check it. You've been mentioned on this episode.
Becca, I heard all about you, girl. Don't even worry.
I know. She loves being a part of the show. Even when we just randomly throw her on a mic and she's like,
oh, I haven't heard that.
Oh, it's the best because she.
Ooh, you got to throw me one of those episodes.
She's so good, but she's like.
We need the specific link for that.
What do I say? Well, how do I do it?
Todd said if we couldn't come up with enough guests on this trip, that he would be interviewed.
Oh, I love
Are
that.
Are you fucking kidding
Can Todd
me?
At least sit inside? Like, he doesn't even have to be interviewed, but can the man still be there? Inside?
Oh, my God. If he is still there, he's contemplating.
I'll just send him a text. Sure.
Yeah, text him that he's welcome inside.
Oh, man.
You have to invite him in like a vampire.
So
poor Todd.
But the trip's been great so far. We've been in LA for a couple days. We've been recording a bunch. I fucking love LA.
Me too.
I love the city so much.
Isn't it the best?
It really, honestly.
Are you both from here?
No, I've lived here I was just counting the other day, going on 13 years, which I grew up in Minnesota and I feel like this is the utopia I was waiting. Like, I knew there was a better world out there and I got here and I was like, baby, this is it.
You don't have that Minnesotan accent.
Oh, say bagel.
Did you have to work that fucker out?
Say bagel.
Bag, a swag. Bagel.
Right, okay. Yeah. It's
a couple words, but yeah, mostly not. On you guys have light.
Sorry, how do you say bagel?
Bagel? Like a human being?
like a fucking normal person.
You guys definitely have sorried and couple times since we've been here, and I was like, and abooted. I was like, adorable.
Yeah.
As promised, Canadians.
And the guests. I feel like your guests, you always get a nice, you're like, oh yeah, I'm not in America right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love trying to pick out the subtleties of people's accent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pick out. Because in Canada, it does range quite a bit. Like, if you're from the East Coast, it's a lot lazier, a lot more slack. Mm-hmm. Although on the West Coast, it's like much more proper, you know, car instead of car.
Yeah. Car.
Dad, so main sounding.
Dad. Well, you guys are in the province that's Scottish.
New Scotland, Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So can you feel the influence? I have so many questions about
this
place.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anytime I've ever been over, I've never actually been to Scotland, but Ireland, it's like, like I can hear the similarities, but I also can't understand a fucking word.
But even on a grander scale, it's like when we took a trip to Ireland together. That was going to be our honeymoon, but we had to scrap that because of work got in the way. But we ended up going a couple of years later, and I remember as soon as we fucking landed and spent like any time in that country, I was like, oh. This is home.
Yeah.
This is where I'm from. Like, I felt it was...
It's also such a comfortable place. I dated an Irish guy for a while, and I was like, I could marry this guy.
Yeah.
Just because the vibe... And
if he's listening to this, Kevin, right?
No, I'm not trying to fuck with you, Kevin.
Sorry.
Just live your life, baby.
Kevin, she's got someone.
I got a man.
She's playing with you right now, okay, Kevin? Don't fall for it.
Tell us about your show. You guys travel around. Before the mics started, you were saying you're heading to Tokyo.
Yes.
I love the idea of travel to explore and like root around and dig into the cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are vast and they are great. And, you know, some of my favorite shows like that's deal with that. But from a sex perspective, or like
that's
dating
what's
or relationships.
So interesting because they're so actually interconnected, and I mean, even outside of sex, but feminism and LGBTQ stuff. It's all
well. We were inspired by like Anthony Bourdain, right? That's why our show is called Private Parts Unknown.
Ah, okay.
So it's like
perfect.
A takeoff on his show.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, the way that you can get to know a culture through their food, you can get to know a culture mm-hmm. through their attitudes towards sex and love and dating and sexuality. So we basically, once we realized that like we had interviewed a lot of people in LA and we still do local interviews, but we want to get the scope of what's out there and compare and really like learn firsthand what all the differences are. So, you know, that was that kind of
what inspired the podcast.
I love that. Have you watched Sex Around the World on Netflix?
It's like the serious version, right?
Is that Christina Amanpour?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She actually did, I think her first episode is Tokyo. We got to rewatch that before we go. I want to support that in the, she's in a different generation. So I feel that's the only thing missing from that show is, do you know what I mean? Do I sound like a bitch right now?
No, I totally get it. It's a different audience too in terms of the content that's being like, okay, got it.
Sorry, what show? I had to step out and close the gate.
Did you let Todd out?
Todd, he had to pee.
Go to the bathroom. Just make sure you bring a bag, okay? Because this is LA. Don't let a Todd just run wild.
Oh my god! Speaking of LA, guys, can I just share this with you? I had one of the highlight moments of my fucking life yesterday. We're walking down this alleyway, and
she's just like, whatever.
No, not whatever. It was so like life changing for me. We were walking down the alleyway to come back into the apartment after like a walk down in Venice. And there's this older couple and they stop because their dog's taking a shit. And the guy takes out a bag to pick up the dog shit. And I'm standing there. I'm about to walk by him and I just look and I go, holy fuck. And he looks at me and I go, you're Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he's like, yeah. And I with a dog bag in his hand, and I just reached my hand out to shake his hand and awkwardly waited for like what felt like 5 minutes for him to take the dog shit bag off his hand to shake my hand.
Todd's such a tool. Why did you want to touch him?
Because he was my childhood hero. Pro wrestling when I was growing up was like, I mean, that's all we have up in Atlantic Canada. We don't get much up there.
You had figurines and the whole.
Are you fucking kidding me? Absolutely. I had the pillow. Like, I slept on him.
Oh, my God. You should have told him that.
That's what you should have led with.
Exactly.
I could, after that, I shook his hand. I just went, thank you. And I just could. I had to get the
fire. You cuddled up against his chest. You were like,
cradle me.
Yeah, turn to his
wife.
Stone
cold, cradle me.
Okay. Yeah. anyway.
Good for you. That LA's cool in that way.
It is.
I feel like everyone that comes here for a couple days gets a story like that, and I just live my life and I don't see that many cool people.
I see people all the time. Actually, today when we were at Barney's, because it's going out of business, and Max was like, I'm going to buy the entire store.
Like Barney's the suit store?
Barney's like the Barney's New York, the very fancy.
Yeah, like a clothing store, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, you're at Barney's. Yeah. No shit, you're going to see somebody.
No, but you don't understand what Barney's looks like right now. It's 70 to 80% off, and the ceiling is literally falling down.
Whoa.
And the people look shell-shocked who work there. They're like, this is too much.
Dude, we gotta go there tomorrow. Because
what they are doing is, ever since they announced that the store is closing, every week they've been discounting the merch 5% more. And now they've reached like almost rock bottom prices. So people are just running wild at Barney's and stealing shit and just like picking up people's bags full of Barney's stuff that they put down for a second and just walking out with them. Yeah, it is so wild at Barney's right now. It is so funny.
That's hilarious.
Is Barney's like typically like pretty
But anyway,
expensive?
I saw Kristen Chenoweth and she was like, sorry, while she elbowed me out of the way to get a hat. And I was like, this is so tight. No makeup. So we were all both wearing like exercise clothes. I was like, this is awesome.
I didn't catch, where are you from?
I'm from Ukraine.
Ukraine, okay.
I moved here when I was 11 to LA. And then I lived here and then went to college in DC, lived in Maine and in Philly a little bit. And then I've been back
here
for a while.
Yeah. How is dating, this is like a 2-part question, I guess. How is dating different here in LA versus Minnesota? Or how is dating different in LA versus DC?
Well, I'll go first.
Yeah.
What's up, Courtney guys? I was 23 when I moved from Minnesota, and I'm from a small town. I lived in Minneapolis like right before I moved out to LA, but most of my time in Minnesota I was in a teeny tiny town of 4,000 people. That's being generous. So they just date each other in that town.
Yeah, that's real small.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Slim pickings.
If it's a cousin or you really got to know.
You know, country shit.
What's that? There's an app for that.
Is there an app for that?
No.
In Iceland.
In Iceland. Yeah. They have an app that it's like, oh, I'm going to date like Floop. Well, I got to check out to see if me and him are share blood. And so it's like a, it's kind of like a, it's like, it, like Ancestry.com and Tinder fucked and made this app. And it's like, you just input your,
that's so your funny,
family tree. And it's like, oh yeah, no, we can fuck. It's good.
And then if you have like a little ancestral kind of fetish going on, that's also good. Yeah. You're like, oh, you're, I know, like, exactly who my targets are.
Yeah. 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 Totally. You know? Which is big these days. We just talked to Holly Randall, and that's the clicky stuff. People love their,
oh, we love incest.
They're faux-cest.
You're talking to two people. Courtney and I obsessively read about incest. We're very fascinated with it.
It is fascinating.
And also the people that meet, you know, if you haven't met.
This is our favorite part of it.
This is our favorite part of this fetish. When you meet your father or mother or whatever.
And you don't know
as an adult
them.
And you didn't grow up with them and you don't have the aversion mm-hmm. built in. Like, yeah. Fuck, ugh, this person's my parent. You're like, oh, they're so similar to me in kind of a sexy way.
Yeah. And you get attracted to them and fall in love. And sometimes then you find out, oh my God, I'm related to this person. And then a lot of times they can't fall out of love.
Yeah, oh, and like, sometimes it happens when you know you're meeting your dad for the first mm-hmm. time or whatever. And then you embark on this romantic relationship.
It's crazy. This happens. And it's just how we were wired, because you're like, you like the people you're related to, you know?
Yeah. That's funny, because I often ask, I've asked this question a lot. I ask this question on dates a lot. Jesus Christ. Maybe this says something about me. But I ask this question where I go, do you think that if you didn't know your dad, or you didn't know your brother, or you didn't know your mom,
oh man,
and then you met them outside of that, like, do you think you'd be friends? But now I'm going to start going, do you think if you
would
met
you fuck them?
You fuck your...
Yeah, the question has changed. It's now...
I've never met my dad. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Men of a certain age, don't come near me. Oh my God. Probably my dad.
I know. Also, my father is quite attractive.
Oh my God, your dad is totally hot.
In a way that if I didn't know that that was my dad, I don't know. Yeah. I can't trust myself.
He's very boyish looking.
Oh my God.
Isn't it funny? His parents run a lot, so they're like in really good shape.
Oh, that's good. That must be nice having parents that are like healthy, and not that my parents aren't healthy. They're great, but
when I was growing up, the kids at school would tease me and be like, yeah, do your parents go out and run on the country roads, and then they run down into the field and then they fuck each other? That was like this extended fantasy that an entire classroom would partake in, and I'd just be like, that's how I got here. Yeah.
What's funny is, like, I hope so, because that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Funny how that instinct works in the opposite too. Like Esther Perel will say, once you're in a long-term relationship with someone, they become like family. Yes. And then you can, like, it can fuck with your desire for them, because we just feel that within the family is not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I
hate that.
I hate it too.
I kind of struggle with that frankly, in my own, at the longer that I'm with someone and I'm with my current partner, the longest that I've been with any person, they do become familial to you. And it is like, I don't know.
Well, there's just like deal breakers. I'm like, okay, you have to not like blow your nose so intensely near me because it makes me want to die. And I'd like to eventually blow you if, again, you know, if this keeps
it's
happening.
It's
going to
take
I don't know.
3 days for my skin to uncrawl itself.
Yeah,
from
like
that
shit
thing.
Like that where yeah. I'm like, please, that's so unsexy. Or like literally scratching your balls for like 5 minutes. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
A couple seconds, good. Yeah,
no.
Sure, whatever.
It's, yeah.
It's that stuff, but it's also him acting like my dad sometimes, where I'll be like, did you do the tire thing? And I'm like, shut up, dad.
That's just a fucking boyfriend thing. They love saying shit like that. I hate it. Seriously. They'll always be like, oh, did you pay that bill? I'm like, I'm not up your ass about your fucking bills.
I know.
Get out of here.
I do that all the time.
You hassle her?
No, well, you know what? I've learned. Not with her. I do it with Becca a lot, though.
You don't do it with me because I did it to you and you were like, I fucking hate that. And now you do it to your girlfriend. Yes.
Oh my God.
This is fucking true.
That's amazing. Okay, we
have a circle of pain.
Let's dig into their dynamic.
Yeah,
can we?
We have so many questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
About everything.
Okay, so what I know you guys got together in theater school, right? Mm-hmm. In college.
Yep.
You were both studying acting. I know that you're married, but I don't know about the origin of how you guys got into polyamory and the whole thing. So
shall I give the like?
And I'm sorry to bring this up again, but Todd.
Yeah.
I really just want to know a little more about Todd.
You want to know
we're
going to
get there, but first let's hear about them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, let's not forget.
Do you want the short version or the long version?
Long version.
Jeremy?
Fuck off. I feel like we both have slightly different versions of
that's
this.
True. Ooh, that's good. True. Okay.
Yeah, because my version is that I recall a moment where we had just maybe just finished having sex or we were laying in bed. And you had said to me that you understood that I had a pretty like high sex drive. I was horny all the time, down to fuck. Every moment of every day, all I wanted was sex. And you were in a position where you felt like your sex drive, your libido wasn't like matching mine. It wasn't as like dire for you to have as much sex. And I think we had both felt like that was a, like we were both feeling that, like that was a, there was a bit of a disconnect there.
How long into your relationship?
This is pretty early. This is like maybe a year and a half into the relationship. And
but about the time where that... Whoa.
You're okay, little bub. You're okay, Rose. Hi, puppy. It was early into the relationship, but I recall this is so distracting.
No, we'll get him to sit down and then you can
continue. Just let her fucking walk around and then good girl.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, good dog. You're
thing.
So pretty.
She somehow makes it into every episode. So Bridie, we had both known this, that this was like kind of a thing, or it was becoming a thing. And you had said to me, listen, if you ever feel like you are not getting what you need from me, I am totally cool and okay if you need to find that elsewhere. So if you feel like you're not getting enough sex, like maybe like go get sex from somebody else. And that's cool with me. And I just remember her saying that and going, whoa, fuck no. No, because...
Had you ever done that in a relationship before?
Nope. No. And it was like, no, because I know how this works. It's a two-way street. If I start doing that, then that means you can do that. And I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to think about that. Fuck this. And kind of like pushed it away. But the seed had been planted. And Bridie is very, whether she knows it or not, is very good at inception. And so that seed started to slowly but surely grow. And that conversation piece would come back to the table every couple of months. But also around that time, our sexual relationship was starting to evolve and change. You know, we were like talking about threesomes or talking about, going, there was like a sex club, like right down the street from where I lived. And we, like, those types of things started to like creep into our sexual relationship, which also just opened up more opportunity for that same conversation to come back into play.
And also, just for context in all of this, this wasn't part of anything I or you, I think, knew was happening before.
No.
Like, this was like a very strange, it felt like a very strange idea. And like, I had never seen a model of polyamory before, or open relation before, or sex clubs before, heard of, like, obviously heard of threesomes, but I'm from a really small town as well. And like, didn't grow up with, was just, you know, I was too busy doing theater to
have a question have though. If you, when you offered or said to him, you can go and if you need to get sex elsewhere, do that. When you said that, did you in your head have an idea of what that meant? Were you like, okay, just like if he just fucks women and they're like one time deals, or he can fuck someone and fuck them repeatedly?
Did you have rules in your head? Did you
have an idea of what that would look like?
No. So the first time I brought it up, it was very much a surprise to me as well. Like, I didn't even... I don't even think I was thinking about myself wanting other sexual partners, but I had been in like consecutive monogamous relationships where I was just like cheating on my boyfriend, like making out with other people and like having feelings for other people and like just being, you know, what I felt like was like totally boy crazy. And I didn't know how to, I think I was worried that was just going to happen in our relationship, or that we would get to that point in a long-term relationship where we didn't want to have sex with each other anymore or whatever it was. And I think there was a part of, I think that initial offer on the table came of a place of like fear of like, I don't want to repeat what I've already experienced. So there has to be something that's going to intercept this like cycle or this like habit that I have.
Good and for you, because it wasn't even part of the cultural conversation or the zeitgeist even like 5 years thing. Ago.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, I don't even think I knew what the... Like, if you'd said polyamory to me back then, I would have been like, yeah, it's multiple wives.
Totally. Yeah.
Mormonism, sure.
I remember the conversation, and we were mid-fight. Like, it came from the, like, just get the fuck off my back. That's how I felt.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. That doesn't surprise
that
me.
That is a totally different interpretation. It is what you promised. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And well, but so again, but that's just one piece of it. Because I think there are like many things, like when you look at this kind of stuff in retrospect, like you start to see all these other elements to your life that play a factor into it. And I do think that another big part of it, in terms of like where we've ended up now, where we've ended up today, and like how we've gotten to where we are, I think a big part of it is also the fact that I live with a life-shortening illness, right? So like my life expectancy is much shorter than your average person. I live with cystic fibrosis. And that's, I mean, that has dictated, that's played a massive role in the way that I go through my life day to day. And so I think there's like part of that. I know that there's part of that fact that has kind of like maybe allowed me to wrap my head around the idea a little easier, or like, or
because there's no permanence.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like,
you don't want to have regrets whenever you go.
Exactly. And you know, I lost my virginity to Katie McCullough in grade 11. And her
shout
and
out
I,
Katie.
Katie, what's up, girl? I love you.
Good job for taking that V card, Katie.
Yeah, she nailed it. And I was madly in love with her, and stayed with her until I met Bridie, and then left her for Bridie, and then stayed with Bridie, and I never had the like, oh, go be a slut, go like enjoy single life. Like, I didn't even know if I had that in me. And so having that piece of on the table, like of going, yeah, go ahead and go get what you need if you need it. And then thinking, fuck, man, I'm 25 and I think I'm going to die in 5 years. What am I doing? I'm married. What did I do? Like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, I gotta live my life. So, you know, I think that definitely played a role as well in my own personal life, like of how I don't want to say justified it, because that makes it sound like I'm trying to make it
Like it's something bad.
Yeah, because it wasn't bad, but it was a way that my brain justified
allowing yourself to go there.
Yeah, wrapping my head around it and going, hey, yeah, you know what? This isn't the scariest thing on the fucking planet, which I thought it was when you first brought it up. You know, there's a lot to be gained here. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to take from this.
And I don't know if like the way you just explained it made it seem like we were married when this conversation happened.
No.
But we didn't actually open the relationship for probably another 5 years after that conversation. Yeah.
So what's the timeline? Wow. You guys got together. You were in your very early 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then like a year and a half later, you had this conversation where it was maybe. And then how long did that idea incubate?
Like
5 years?
Yeah, like 5 years.
And when did you get married?
2011. So we met in 2007. And then we were a thing by 2008. And then we got married in 2011.
Got engaged in 2010. So it would have been, you know, like...
around that 2009 conversation. And then we opened things up in 2015. But we had the conversation.
Wow,
like,
babe, you were really good with the dates there.
Yeah, I could never do that.
No, me neither. Yeah.
About your own life, you guys?
No. About my own life, I can't. I'm like either 3 to 7 years ago. I don't really know. Same.
It's just will. It's just the will to remember. You go, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here until I can recall life.
I literally got to go, all right, we got married. There was 11 was a big part of it. Oh, yeah, yeah. 2000.
There are 10 years in a decade. So then we started talking about the specifics of how it would work, whether it would work over the next 5 years. And then one day it was just the right time. So we did it. So and we did write a contract. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tell us about taking the leap from just talking about it to it becoming a thing. I think the puppy wants to go outside.
Yeah, Rose, just you want to go outside? You fucking.
He's like, let me talk to Todd.
Sweet girl.
Oh, you miss Todd. Yeah, sweet.
Sorry, what was the question?
The contract?
Yeah, just what was it like when you first opened it up? How did you decide on rules? I mean,
did it evolve?
Yeah, what's really interesting is that we didn't, and you kind of touched on this, we didn't have a model to go off of. We didn't have none of our peers really. I knew one guy who was like, I'm polyamorous. And I was like, what is that? But like I only kind of knew him, and he lived in, you know, he lived in Montreal. Like, so we didn't have anyone close to us that we could kind of talk to about it. And we really pioneered our own way through it. Like, we just kind of talked a lot about how we wanted to do it. We were reading similar books. Like, we were just kind of doing our own research and trying to figure out what to do. Now, what we did, In hindsight, I don't know if I would like recommend fully. We wrote out a contract, and I was like, this was a really great idea. And then later on, as our relationship, you know, evolved and morphed and turned into what it is now, and started with this podcast, we were talking about the contract, and I remember someone reaching out, emailing us, going like, there's a lot of issues with like that, your contract. And also contracts in general, because here are some things you might not have thought about. And some of those things were like not really considering the person on the outside of our agreement that I never really thought of. So like there were parts of the contract that I'm like, oh yeah, maybe that wasn't the greatest overall, but it did really work for us in terms of being very clear in setting, you know, ground rules of what we are comfortable with, what we're not comfortable with.
I feel weird even about, there's so many things that I have to say about that, but,
you disagree with me?
I think I do. I disagree with you. I mean, it might not be for everybody, but I do think that we walk around the world in our relationships with this like set of expectations we have of the other person, and we never express them. And then we're constantly getting disappointed by the other person because they're not living up to our expectations, but we never actually told them what our expectations were. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is really, first of all, because we, this was before we read any books on the subject, and we didn't have a vocabulary to...
We had read Sex at Dawn. Like we didn't read books on the topic of polyamory, but we had read some stuff on.
You read a book.
Yeah.
Well, I read three quotes.
Don't worry, we still think you're smart. It's fine.
Yeah, we had read things about, you know, non-monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're right. We hadn't read more than two, or like, you know, those books that like are the encyclopedia of consensual non-monogamy.
Yeah, more of a manual.
Yeah.
And also my other beef with that is just like, when you get married, nobody tells you, or some people will probably tell you, but nobody told me, and maybe this is going to sound really like angry, but I feel a lot of freedom in recognizing it. It's a business partnership. If you're financially attached to each other. So if you have a problem creating a contract for those kinds of expectations and things like that, then don't get married. Like there's an unspoken contract. I think it was a surprise to me. It's like you get married and someone goes, and by the way, here's what you just agreed to. And I think for us, in how things developed, it was like, I wasn't aware. No, we didn't, like, there's no education in marriage. So now that we know what we've actually signed up for, how are we going to make this a reflection of our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
That's not just about like what is expected and what the norms are, because we don't fit into that box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, but would you not agree that like there were parts of that, of the contract or parts of the contract that like led to conflict just because of the way that things would go with something like a contract? You know what I mean? It's like something in the contract that like might need to morph or shift or evolve. But because it's in words in this way, when that thing comes up, then
it has to be a living, breathing document. Yes. Like, much like the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it was.
Which it very much was. Yeah, absolutely.
Like on the daily, as we realize like, oh, that's not a thing that actually happens in this situation, but this other thing
is a huge issue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I guess about other people, like there was definitely collateral damage along the way because other people were involved and we were learning.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to happen regardless. No matter how you have relationships with people.
No, that's a good point. You're right.
I think it's totally valid, the point of we don't always express, or we rarely express our expectations to our partners. They're just supposed to magically know.
And everybody's expectations are different.
Yeah.
And it's just... Can you give us some details about like specific, like, is it easier for you to know like about the person in the beginning, like how long until you tell your partner when you meet somebody?
Well, wait. First, I want to know, what were your rules starting out? Right.
Yeah,
did we talk about those?
I don't think so. I mean, like, starting out, they were
in the contract.
What was the contract itself? There were things like, if we meet someone and we're like intending to, you know, take that somewhere, then they 100% have to know about our, you know, like if I met someone, they have to know about Bridie. Mm-hmm. They have to know she exists. Things like if there was ever any kind of discussion with that person where they start alluding to like you leaving their partner or whatever, like that's like a no-go. No sleepovers was like one thing.
You sleeping over at their place or them
just
sleeping?
Period.
Oh, yeah. Either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like that's one of those things that
evolved over time,
and it's also one of those things that I look at now and I go, that's kind of a shitty thing that we put in there, But I guess it makes sense. But I look at it. I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of where we are now.
Well, it's about building trust. Yeah. Right. And yeah. It's like that. That's where the value was. Like step by step by step, easing into it in such a way that everybody feels, well, the couple feels safe.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And some couples, I mean, you definitely get the gamut, I think, listening to your show. But some couples never go past the sleeping, you know, no sleepovers stage. It's just whatever works for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's different for everyone. Yeah. What were some of the other rules, though?
No talking about our intramarital, like complaining about each other.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's really smart. Yeah. You're like, don't shade me when you go out with your.
Yeah, you can't like make the new person everything good and the old person everything bad, because not only is that not true, but it'll like totally wreck your actual perception of the relationship.
But again, that's another rule that definitely evolved and changed. Like, I mean, didn't even evolve. It just kind of disappeared. You know?
Yeah, that's true, because I counsel you on your relationship with your girlfriend. And,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we vent to each other about, and you know, I definitely vent to Becca sometimes when I'm pissing you off. Yeah, when you piss me off. Yeah.
Doesn't happen very
But I mean, what's really funny is when that shit happens when they're at the house.
Yeah.
You know, like when Beck is home and then you and I get in a fight, or when you're home and Beck and I get in a fight. That shit always makes me laugh.
And you guys also live with, you have roommates that aren't partners as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And Becca lives with you guys?
No. So Becca has her own place. Well, actually now Becca moved to Yellowknife. So she lives like on the North Pole for the next year.
Oh my, to do what?
She's a nurse, so she's doing travel nursing. So she went up there to just make a bunch of money.
Good for her.
Gone up for, she's actually up there for like a year and a half. So she left like a week ago. So she has her own place. We share a home and Todd has his own place. And then we also have at our house, we have a couple of roommates. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So how do Todd and Becca fit into your like daily lives?
Well, Todd and I are currently that our daily lives every day for the next few months are pretty intertwined.
House on wheels.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and how about when you're not in a van traveling?
So it's we see a lot of each other just in general, you know. It's a typical day could be me coming home from Becca's house to find Bridie working and Rose is at the house and
the dog.
Todd and Bridie's dog. And then Todd comes to hang out for a bit and they make dinner at the house. And Becca comes over. We all hang out for a bit, have some drinks. Maybe we go to a movie. We invite Bridie and Todd and they're like, yeah, we haven't seen that movie yet. We all go together. It's a very like amicable family, you know.
Our house is kind of a bit of a hub for it all.
Yeah, like, yeah. Becca has a dog as well, so like her dog's always at the fucking house. We have a dog, so like it's just
there are three dogs. Has a dog. Yeah. That's so cute. That's
adorable.
It's and they all love each other. They're all like best friends.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet little setup.
Do Becca and Todd have other partners?
Becca does. Yeah, Becca does. Todd doesn't. You guys have kind of closed things off. Yeah, like you guys are
monogamish.
Yeah. Whereas Becca and I see other people.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So we were talking about money just a minute ago because you guys are married and that's part of the deal. How does that work? I mean, does it ever get weird because there's an extra person that you kind of have to think about financially or people?
Well, I think when we opened things up, there was a brief period of time where we continued on as normal, like pooling all of our resources, like in that particular structure of sharing finances. and then after a little bit, I was like, okay, my version of dating is like, let's go for a hike. Let's like, you know, walk dogs. Let's, you know, whatever. And Jeremy's like, soup. Yeah, exactly. And Jeremy's like, wants to go out and like buy you to the restaurants and to the bars and like movies and shit like that. Yeah. And yeah. That's and so awesome. I was like, I'm not going to pay for your dates anymore. And you know, you're not going to pay for mine. So
it makes sense because you're a cheap date.
Right.
And he's an expensive date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
So we split our finances, and that's been, if I was going to give advice to like people getting married, depending on what their goals are together, I'd be like, keep your finances separate. Go in, you know, go 100%. In on things together.
And like we split those finances in a very business kind of way. It's like, okay, Jeremy, you utilize the car more often than Bridie. So you make the car payments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bigby is a big expense every month. So, you know, Bridie will take the cost of Bigby. And, you know, rent is like a...
Any of our shared expenses are divided in half, but we each just take different bills.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
And
that
it works. Sense.
Yeah.
It's good.
It works great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we do have a shared bank account still where it's just like for things like this, we go in equally.
What's really funny about that though, and I haven't thought about, like, no one's asked us that, which is a good question. And I haven't put much thought into it because I try not to think about
money
because I hate it.
I know. It's always so awkward and horrible. Yeah. And if you grow poor, it's just a source of being nerve-wracking.
And being an artist, you're like, I don't know. I can't even think about that. It's not part of the equation.
Like, does anyone have soup?
Yeah. Well, we end up splitting our finances. And when we did that, it was like there was this sense of like independence and comfort that comes with knowing like, okay, yeah, all right, this is like mine. And I know what I can do with this and I know what I can't do with this. And so I got really into that because I don't like to think about money before this moment. It really was like, all right, you handle it.
Yeah.
Like,
it was my role.
This is your fucking deal. All right. So now that I have this thing that's mine, I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. I got control over this. Then I start dating Becca and I'm like, we don't share finances. That's cool. You have your place. You have your dog. I have my shit, but we hang out. And then, you know, then deep into our relationship, she's like, can we start? Becca's like, can we start just splitting everything like evenly and I'm like, what?
Right,
what? She's like, can we do a thing where it's like, you know, instead of asking for split bills, we just get a bill together and it's like, you pay it sometimes and I pay it sometimes. And I fully went on to like full fucking panic mode and was like, I don't know if I can handle we gotta break up. I can't fucking handle this.
How long have you been together?
Becca and I have been together 3 years. You and I have been together for
10 or 11.
11. Yeah.
And how about you and Todd?
3 years too. Yeah.
Oh, did you meet around the same time?
Around the same time. Yeah. Like a few months apart, I would say.
Hang on though. What'd you do about the bills? Did you just decide unclench your asshole?
I did. Yeah, I did. She was really adamant that we try it. And I went, fine. And we tried it. And it was actually quite nice.
Great.
Yeah. So yeah. So there's the. It's like a.
Look at old Jeremy going with the flow.
That's it, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. It's like I'm an evolving human. I'm not. my asshole might be tight, but it's not that tight. There's room.
Oh, I got something I want to talk to you about. So
all I have is rude personal questions.
Yeah.
Oh, girl, you're gonna love this next question.
Okay. Great.
Jeremy loves. I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. male, female threesomes.
Ah, no. I've never had one.
Did I read that wrong? I've never had
one either, but I'm down.
Was that not in an article that I read about you? Did I get that wrong?
It was. It's something that I've thought about a fuckload, and I'm super down to do it, but it's got to be the right guy, and if I am going to go that route, I would much rather not do it where it's like me and my buddy, like spit roast, high five. We're going to share this chick. Like if I'm going to do this, he better be cool with me
doing dick stuff
with him, you know, I want this to be a shared experience with all three of us. But I'm, you guys just did an episode on the Kinsey Institute and the museum.
Mm-hmm.
the first time I ever heard of the Kinsey scale, I was like, I'm on that scale somewhere. I'm definitely on that scale somewhere.
What and number
I'm
not, it's do you not think
a zero. I know I'm not a zero. So we had James Cantor on my other podcast, Sick Boy, who is a sexual psychologist and also a gay male, which actually like plays pretty big into his story about what he focuses on. But when we finished the recording, I don't think he was ready for what was coming at him, because he was sitting down with three like fucking bros that are just like all about dick jokes, and he's this like very professional doctor who's like, Jesus Christ,
gay man.
What did? Oh yeah, for sure. And he was like, why did I show up here? Why did I sign up for this? We're now like best friends. He loves us. But when the recording was over, he was about to leave, and I go, oh wait, James, can you give us 10 more minutes and hit record again? And we were like, we're trying to figure out how gay Jeremy is. And you could see like the fucking color drain from his face. But we were like, okay, if Jeremy was on the Kinsey scale, where would he fall? And so he straight up was like, all right, well, do you jerk off to the thought of other men? And I'm like, no, I haven't. He's like, do you think you could? And I'm like, maybe I could. I haven't tried it. Maybe I'll try it. And he's always like asking all these questions. And I think by the end of it, he was like, you're like a 2. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'm on the scale. The guys are like, we're zeros.
You're in the game.
Yeah, I'm in the game. So I've been trying to like, I don't know, you know, over the last, since that day, I've been kind of just like exploring what would it be like to
practicing, kind of go a little jerking further. Off. Corny and I only think about ourselves when we jerk off, which is inherently kind of lesbian, right?
Yeah.
About ourselves or about each other?
No, about ourselves.
Just ourselves.
I think about me, Courtney. She thinks about
me, Sophia.
That's.
And we didn't realize we're both so selfish and self-obsessed until we discussed this. And then we were like, oh.
So wait,
mostly think about myself, too. I wonder if that's a female thing.
That's a type. That's like a type of person. When I have a joke about this. Yes, yeah. Exactly. I have a joke about this. And when I ask in clubs for people to clap if they think of themselves only when they jerk off, it's always a very small but very passionate percentage.
Okay.
So what are you thinking then? Are you thinking of like...
of my body and people doing stuff to it.
Yeah.
And not people, just like body parts. Mm. I've right. never thought of like an actual real other person.
Right. Like no celebrities or...
or like faces.
Or even like a made up
I just don't
person.
Care. It's all like dicks, titties, pussies and boobs and
but you
stomachs but like
oh,
on
I'm
me,
the center
on
of
me.
The universe
yeah,
it sounds exactly. like a great music video.
It does. You know? It is
welcome to our mind every time we fucking jerk off. It's pretty great.
Okay,
but I feel like that's if there's like a sociopathy / narcissism part of the Kinsey scale, you know, if the Kinsey scale wasn't a scale but like a graph.
right
like with a third dimension.
That's so funny.
I feel like that's got to be something different that Bridie's Courtney and me are both.
Yeah,
are
I'm trying to come up with it. I'm trying to figure out where all those dots connect. But
So the MMF threesome is something I've definitely think about, but
haven't done open to
and like it's like you know it's on my like sexual bucket list. I would say.
Nice. It's on that. The reason I asked, I swear to God, I read it.
I think it was in a Vice article.
The guy made it sound like you did it all the time.
We talked about it a lot, but I think it was more so about the like. It's I want to fucking try it. Anybody out there? But again, it has to be.
I love that you were during a press opportunity. You were putting out feelers. You're like, if you wanna, email.
You're like, I'm just out here to draft players. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. There's like two. There have been. I think there's two guys that I've been able to wrap my head around, and like have been very into the idea of. And one, and I know he knows
Chris
this.
Pine. That's why you guys are here.
You're like Liam Hemsworth. Yeah. I have talked to you about this.
Stone Cold Steve
times.
Austin. they both actually they both live in Halifax, and one of them for sure knows it because, well, I've told him, but he just got married to another lovely gentleman, so I think that's off the table.
Well, you don't know what they're married.
Oh,
is
no.
Like.
I think lot of gay men.
Then you know.
Yeah, maybe you're going to have an MMM.
Nope, they're very monogamous. They're too cute. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Wait, can I ask a personal rude question?
Yeah.
Do y'all still fuck?
Well, there you have it, folks. We're going to leave it there. And how much do you hate me for that? If you want the answer to that question, do y'all still fuck? You'll have to tune in next week, where we continue and draw to a close with our conversation with Courtney and Sophia, the co-hosts of Private Parts Unknown. Again, please go check out their podcast. They are fucking hilarious. You can listen to their stuff over at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back next week with the second part of that conversation and hopefully, like I said, a little foreplay between Bridie and I beforehand. Okay, love each and every one of you, and we'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.